So welcome. It's happy to see. It's great to see all your lovely faces this morning. And for 2023, I'm personally quite excited about this year. And I think it's been slightly reflected in the way I've been speaking for the past couple of weeks. So if it's like, oh man, what's Pastor Benson on about? Don't worry, I'm just super excited. So I'll try and calm myself down a bit. But it's an interesting year that we're in. And I believe that God has so many things for us. And I'm not just saying that from a cliche, normal, God's got a great year for you, motivational perspective. God really has something for us. But it's not something that might appear extraordinary. And I'll explain why in a minute. Okay. So we've been looking at a series that we've called People Just Like Us. People Just Like Us. This is the fifth installment. I think we'll finish next week. And the whole theme of this message is looking at the life of the disciples that Jesus called. If you look at Matthew chapter 4, which we looked at the start, we saw that Jesus was walking and he saw a number of disciples. He saw Peter, he saw John and James and John, his brother. They were just regular people, and he said, follow me. The same way he came across Matthew, the tax collector, we spoke a bit about how people viewed Matthew then. They were like, how could Jesus have chosen such a such a notorious swindler? But the point I was just trying to make was that let's reflect back to that time. So imagine that you're just going about your daily business and someone just says, hello, just follow me, and you just come with me, I'm Jesus. It would seem so ordinary. Jesus didn't do any miracles straight away. He didn't appear in a cloud to them and say, follow me. No, it was just like a regular thing like this. And they followed him. And I can almost certainly guarantee you that when they followed him, they didn't know the impact of what, they didn't know the animosity of what they were getting into. They just thought, well, another rabbi, we'll just go with him. He'll teach us a few things. They didn't know that the impact that they were going to have would be felt 2,000 years later. They didn't know that the impact that they were going to have was going to span across generations beyond what they could ever actually imagine. I can almost guarantee you that they didn't think that of themselves when Jesus called them at first. Why? It was an ordinary day. They were doing ordinary things. So nothing extraordinary to show that, well, this is what is really going to happen in my life. So that was where they started from. And the reason that I was harping on that point, and we'll start on what I'm going to talk about today, is this. These guys were transformed by Jesus using very simple principles. We looked at some of those principles, and the point I've been trying to make is that Jesus has left those principles for us. Children can apply the principles, educated people can, uneducated people can, rich or poor. These principles are so simple that they're available to every single one of us. And I can guarantee you that as we go through these principles on our day-to-day lives, some of them are quite painful to ourselves. We looked at that. You and I can also begin to make a greater impact. Not looking at ourselves or what we can achieve in ourselves. We can impact our families, ourselves, our lives can change to the point where we are confident in God. So we looked at a number of these things that Jesus took them through. The first one we looked at was their heart. We said that these guys really loved Jesus. A lot of them didn't know better. Some of them were really violent people. I mean, can you imagine Peter cutting off someone's ear. I mean, would you choose that person to be like leader in your organization? No, they would just DBS check, Peter, violent, indicted for, no way you're gonna employ that kind of guy. But Jesus still saw something in him. He just knew that, look, I just need to walk these guys through this process. Not really paying attention to where they are at this time. So we looked at their heart. We looked at the part that the Word of God played, that it was the Word of God that changed them because Jesus taught them straight away after he called them. The third thing we looked at was dealing with themselves. We said, look, if you love Jesus and the Word of God and you're like, yes, Pastor Benson said we can be transformed, and you begin that journey, the third thing you would have to deal with is yourself. So we looked at dealing with self, because there's some things that you're going to find really uncomfortable about what the Word of God is asking you to do. But we looked at how God helps us to go through that process. And last week, we looked at vision and purpose. And when we looked at vision and purpose, the point I made last week was this. Yes, you love Jesus. Yes, you are going with the Word of God. Yes, you're ready to deal with yourself and make yourself uncomfortable to ensure you follow the Bible, ensure you do the things that Jesus asks you to do. But the point I made last week was this. If you have no vision of where or what Jesus wants to make of you, then I can almost guarantee us that our walk will be up and down. And the example I gave was the example of an athlete. We looked at that in detail. And I said, look, the difference between me and someone who's training for the Olympics is this. As a sprinter, that person has a purpose to win a race in the Olympics. That means they will wake up in the morning at 7 o'clock, whatever time they wake up, they will jog, do all those things. I might pull up to McDonald's there every day and order like a double cheeseburger. Not that I do that every day. Order that every day because I'm not training for anything. But the person who is training for the Olympics wouldn't be able to do that. They would follow a strict diet. So even though they love eating all those things, they would put it aside because I have something that I'm looking forward to as an athlete. And I said that the same thing. Jesus told the disciples, I will make you fishers of men. And he gave them a vision of where he was taking them or what they were going to be. So when the inconveniences came up, it's like, oh man, do I have to go to church today? Do I have to pray? Pastor Benson can't do that. So I said, look, unless we have the true vision of where Christ is taking us, I can tell you, we're just gonna, you're like, man, take it easy. And there are times that I've woken up on a Sunday morning, I'm not quite sure I should be saying this as a pastor, but I'll say it anyway. And I'm like, oh man, church this morning. I mean, by the way, I love coming to church. But there have been times that I've been so tired. In fact, there was one Sunday that I was actually ill and my whole body was aching me. And I was like, oh my goodness, do I have to go today? And it's like, yeah, you're the one that has to preach, Pastor Benson. So I had a vision. I was like, okay, I'll inconvenience myself. And I came. So what I'm saying, that's a bit of an extreme one. But what I'm saying is that if we do not have a vision of where Christ is taking us, personally, when the tire hits the road a lot of times, we'll just say, look, forget it. I'll just not be too bothered. So those are the things that we were looking at, or that we've been looking at over the past couple of weeks. Today, I'm going to be looking at something called the local church. The local church is one massive way that Jesus uses to transform us to where he wants us to be, the local church. And I'll explain that in a minute, but what I want to read a portion of scripture here, And that portion of scripture that I want to read is Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Let me just dig that out from my Bible. All right, so I'll read that. It says, they devote, talking about the believers, the early days, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple court. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So we see something here about the local church at that point in time and how Christ used that to establish people. And how he's still using that to establish us as well. Now, I'm just going to highlight a number of points from this. And we see that these things are simple. The first thing we see here in this Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47 that we read, I'll mention a number of points. So the first thing we see here is that they devoted themselves, the Bible says, to the apostles' teachings. They devoted themselves to the word of God. Now, they could have said they read the Word of God, which we all do. They can say they could have said they kind of like, you know, did Bible study, which I'm sure they did. But the word that the Bible uses here is devotion. Devotion. When one is devoted to something, it means that you're putting in extra effort because that thing is really dear to you. Do you understand? That thing is really dear to you. It's not something that is casual. So the first thing was that these guys made time to really study the Bible. They devoted themselves to the Bible. If you look at Job chapter 23, verse 12, it says, I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. So, Dob here says that, look, I have treasured the word of God even more than my daily bread. There is something about the word of God that I'm going to esteem to be so important in my life that I'm going to devote myself to it. Now, why do we need to devote ourselves to God's word or make the decision to devote ourselves to God's word? Well, I have loads of reasons, but I can pick one from 21st century living. Are we in the 21st or the 22nd century? you guys know what I mean. So why use that word devotion? Well, I believe the use of that word devotion means that there will be other things that will be vying for our attention. And devotion is the only way we can ensure that we stay with the Word of God. 21st century living, we are so busy. I mean, I don't know if you guys are like me. My phone, I was just thinking the other day, my phone is like by my side all the time. When I roll over, it's like, oh, WhatsApp, has anyone sent me a message? I'll just quickly look. Emails, has anyone sent me a message? Oh, there's this thing happening. And before I know it, time has gone. I'm like, man, I should read my Bible. And I'm just like, let me just switch on YouTube. I think Apostle preached a message yesterday. Then I just see this new song that has come out. I'm like, man, that's a fantastic song. We should sing that in church. Then after that, the next song comes on. It's like, oh, man, I would love to learn that one. And before I know it, time has gone. So we're so busy. Now, if we do not make a deliberate effort to say, okay, I'm going to wake up at so-so time, I'm going to spend time looking at the Word of God, I can almost guarantee us that we won't do it. In fact, I think for me, I've become like really draconian with myself. And I just said, you know what I'm going to do, right? Irrespective of what I'm doing, at a particular time, I'm going to switch everything off. And I am going to ensure that I study the Word of God. Real effort. I remember that, was it the day before yesterday or something? Evening, I had like, you know, I told my daughter, like, I've got this book, I'm gonna make notes. And I had my Bible on, and I was just about to read, I was like, oh, man, it's been a long day. I'm hungry. Like, you just ate a few, you ate like an hour ago, proper dinner, Pastor Benson, what are you hungry about? Okay, I'll just, and I was trying to realize, like, oh man, I'm really hungry. Before I knew, I was downstairs, big jug of tea. Anyway, I don't have to go through all the details, but what I'm just saying is that the distractions are always there. These guys were devoted to the Word of God, which meant that they made a decision that irrespective of how busy I am, I'm going to ensure that I spend time really studying the Word of God, because that's what transforms us. Now, the second thing we see here is this. It says that they gathered together. They had fellowship together. Now, what does this mean? It means they came together. There are some people who, you know, even before COVID started, they'd be like, oh, I don't have to, we're talking about the local church here. I don't have to belong to any local church. I'm part of the body of Christ, which is true. I can just watch church on YouTube, which you can. And, you know, this thing about you have to belong to a local church, I'm not really for it, that's too restrictive. The Lord has told me that I can go to this church on this Sunday. When I wake up on this Sunday, it's like, oh, which church am I going to? I go to that church. And some people have the notion that you don't have to belong to any local church as long as you're part of the body of Christ. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible places a lot of emphasis on the local church. And the second point here is this. These guys had fellowship. They gathered together. They knew one another. Do you understand? So it wasn't just a distant thing. They were part of a community, and being together with people really helped them. One thing I always say is this. Everything that you need is in the local church. The encouragement that you need is in a local church. Someone was telling me a while ago, a couple of people say, oh, my pastor is, and they mentioned this pastor in maybe America, and they're in England here. I watch him on YouTube, and I send my offering and all that to him, and all that, all this. So I'm like, okay, so if you're having any problems, can you call your pastor? Something's playing up there. I think it's this. So I'm like, this is your pastor that is on YouTube that doesn't know you. When you're unwell, can you call them? Will they come and pay you a visit? Or all these people you see on YouTube, I'm not bashing YouTube, by the way. I'm just using it as an example. Nobody knows you. You're just there on your own. Nobody can encourage you. Nobody can ask, how are you doing? Nobody can, I mean, you can't crack jokes with anyone. You can't learn any Kiwi jokes. You know? By the way, you can't, you know, I mean, you're just there. And you know, in the UK, I think during the time of Theresa May, our former prime minister, correct me if I'm wrong, she established a new department. I think it's called the Department for Loneliness. It's like, really? Yeah, Department for Loneliness or something like that. And that's because they realized in the UK that there are loads of people who are lonely. There are people who have no contact with any other person for months. They're just at home. Months go by, nobody to talk to, nobody knows them. And there are loads of people like that. God has said that as a local, as an individual that is going to be transformed, you need to be in the community of people. And there's a portion of scripture here, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. It says in Hebrews 10, 25, we should not, it says, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. So as a local church here, all these things we try and put in place because we want to model our lifestyle or our way of life as the Bible has said. So apart from when we're having COVID, we're here on the Sundays. We meet online on Wednesdays as well, which is like face-to-face. For the Bible study, we do Bible study. Well, this is kind of like Bible study, but we do Bible studies on Fridays where I go through the Bible verse by verse. So as a church, we're trying to ensure that we all participate in these things because these are the things that Jesus uses to transform us. They might not seem like things that are extraordinary or flashy. It's not like, you know, God just sent someone to lay their hands on my head and bam, I know the whole Bible. All this listening to Bible teaching and all that, man, that's just too long. Tell me something exciting. No, it's these little things that we do that really strengthens us and helps us to make impact. So they had fellowship. The third thing that I see here is this. They cared for one another. The Bible says that it was so intense in those days that some of them sold their possessions so that they could give and support one another. By the way, I'm not saying you should go and sell your possessions. You know, I'm not saying you should do that, but they cared so much for one another. They did. So why am I saying this? I'm saying this because these are the things that, as a local church, we need to imbibe. We are already, but in greater measure. So that no one that is part of this local church ever feels that, man, I'm lonely. No one in this local church feels, man, I'm uncared for. Or, man, I'm starving. Anyone who's feeling that way needs to participate more. So really, if you're in this church, you shouldn't go hungry. Even though there's like an economic thing that's going on, you should not. To the extent that if there's anyone in this community as well, we do Bags of Hope, we give people free provisions as a church. So if you're in the church, come on, you shouldn't ever go hungry. Do you understand? Because we care for one another. That's what Christ wants us to do. And if I look at James chapter 2 and verses 15 and 16, it says, suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food, and if one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and be well fed, but does nothing about their physical need, what good is it? What good is it? But I know that in the Bristol culture sometimes, people are a bit shy. It's like, oh man, how am I going to tell someone that I have no food at all? Oh man, that's going to be a bit embarrassing and all that. I'll just keep to myself. We don't have to do that. I remember a long time ago, this was years and years ago, and I was studying, my wife and I then, this was like 20 something years ago. And we went through a period in our lives that, man, we were so broke. In fact, we're living in West London. The apartment that we were staying in, we're so broke that we paid the rent for the first 3 months, and for 9 months we couldn't pay the rent, and they didn't kick us out. But you know, those days were slightly more lenient. We didn't have any money. We didn't even have food. We would go to church. We attended a church in West London. We would just, you know, gather some money together because we love church so much. We would end up in church, but we wouldn't have any money to go back home. The pastor of the church then would take us to the cash point, withdraw like money for us. Then, can you imagine if, like, how embarrassing some of you guys would have felt? Like, what? Never. I'll never do that. How, you know? But we understood the local church. We didn't care. It was like, well, we're in this church. We need help. Pastor, we need money to get home. So we were not embarrassed. Do you understand? We're not embarrassed. In fact, it was later that I realized that some people are embarrassed. We're not embarrassed. So we were helped. Do you understand? That's the local church. So I'm just putting this out there that we need to just embrace this as well. So Bible says we should care for one another. The fourth point is they said they had communion together. And what this translates to for us is they brought Jesus to the center of their lives and reminded themselves of Jesus constantly. If I read Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus. So these guys took communion. And when we take communion, obviously we do it here, I think once a month. But that's not the point. The point here is this. They always brought Jesus to the focus. Well, they always made Jesus the focus of their lives. All the time. Conscious of the fact of what Jesus did for them. Conscious of the fact of what Jesus did. Now, why is this important? I'll go through one or two more things, then we'll end. Why is this important? Communion and always fixing our eyes on Christ. Because if we're not careful sometimes with the local church, it can become a place that we just gather to listen to the nice choir that plays, which is great. It can be a place that we just come and hang out, have nice teas and coffees, which is fantastic. We should do that. It can become a place where, well, I'm just going to go and I'll see my friend there and I can listen to some Kiwi jokes and all that. I don't know why I just keep saying Kiwi jokes. Is someone... just joking. And it can become just that. All those things are great. But these guys always reminded themselves that, look, the reason why we're together, the reason why we do all these things is because of Jesus, because of what Christ has done in our lives. So Jesus was always the center of their local church. Do you understand? Always. And the last thing we see here is the Bible says that they gathered and they prayed together. So these are the components of a local church that Jesus uses to transform us. So about prayer, we're talking about group prayer here. And there was a part in Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 24, when Peter, James, and John came into the fellowship and some people had harassed them outside, the Pharisees. The Bible says they came into their company and they said, guys, let us pray. And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4 that these guys gathered together and they prayed and they prayed. So they believe that, look, once we gather together to pray, there's something that happens when we gather as believers to pray. It could even be that, man, you're just so tired, you don't even feel like praying. And you come to someone else and that person encourages you in the place of prayer. So all these things form the components of the local church. And going through all these things, Jesus transformed the lives of people. So we don't see anything, so to speak, extra, should I say, flashy here. There are times that you might be like, look, I need to go to one of these nice, massive conferences where they're preaching the gospel, and I love those things. And those things have a place. Or it has to be like a miracle service or something. I love all those things, but God transforms us in the little, little things. That's how he does it. So what am I saying today? I'm saying that, look, as a local church, let us participate in all these things. For prayer, we pray on Sunday mornings before the church starts. We pray, we have a prayer meeting on Zoom on the Wednesdays, 8 to 9 on Wednesdays, where we gather online and we look at the Bible and we pray. Let's participate in that. We have the Sunday meeting, Sunday meetings, which we're here. We have the Friday meetings where we look at the Bible book by book. Let's participate in all that. And I believe that as we participate in all these things and go through this thing, something will begin to happen to you and I. We will become more and more and more like Christ. And you might not know that something is happening to you, but the people around you will notice the difference. And what's the difference going to be? The difference is going to be that you're becoming more and more like Christ. You're becoming stronger and stronger in the faith. So that irrespective of what's going on out there, you're not shaken. People can look up to you as a sense or as a source of comfort. Do you understand? So I'm going to end there today. So we've looked at people just like us. We've said these guys devoted themselves to the Word of God. They gathered together. They cared for one another. They had communion to remind themselves of Jesus. And they prayed constantly. So this morning, I just want us to rise and we'll pray. Now, the thing is this. And the thing is, I'm not saying this thing in a very fancy way. Maybe because I'm not American, I'm not saying, yeah, you, God's gonna help you. God's gonna do this in your life. I'm not saying all that. I'm just giving us like really straight, I hope not monotonic British, you know? Like, oh, Pastor Benson, spice up your talk there, man. Give us something slightly more edgy. We don't need that. God's word is God's word. Whether it's edgy or not, it will still accomplish what it's meant to do. So this morning, I just want us to really commit our hearts into God's hand. Like I said, this year is a great year. And it's through these simple things that God wants us to really know him. He wants to really touch our lives. He wants us to touch the lives of other people when they see God in us. So this morning, we just want to pray and just say, God, help me. I want to be transformed. I want to make a difference in my own life. I want to make a difference in the lives of the people around me. Help me. So that's the prayer that we're just going to pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your word that we have heard this morning. Father, we ask that you will help us to see the place of the local church in the transformation of our lives to become more like you. Father, at this time, we're asking that for anyone amongst us or anyone that we know that is a believer that is feeling uncared for, that's feeling just on their own, we ask that you will bring to their hearts the place of the local church. Help us to care for one another the way the Bible says. Help us to support one another as you have said in the word. Give us a longing for your word so that we can be transformed. Strengthen us, our Father and our King. Father, this we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Father, I pray for everyone that is here, and even for some people that are not here, that you will strengthen them. For anyone who is unwell at this time, your word says in Matthew chapter 8, 17, it says that you took away our infirmities and our sicknesses. Your word says in 1 Peter chapter 2, 24, that by your stripes you have been healed. Father, I speak healing to everyone that is unwell now in the name of Jesus. I ask, oh God, that you bring peace, as your word says in John chapter 14, 27. Peace to every mind that is troubled. Peace to every situation that is troubling in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.